Well, it's certainly good to see everyone this morning, and we welcome you to our services, our commissioning service for VBS. Before we get into those particulars today, I do want to take this time with the church family and our guest here today to remind you of some of the things that are going on in the building. There is a lot of things going on in the building. There's great things that are going on, and we're grateful for the renovations and for the new Sunday school space that we have, and we will soon to have some more. So I want to talk about funding just for a few minutes this morning and bring to everyone's attention that the funds for the nursery have pretty much been donated. I think we had to use a little bit of the church funds to do that, but we had some outside sources that gave some things, and nursery's pretty much done, and I think it's a great thing. So let's just give the Lord a round of applause for that as well. The rest of the building, you can see, I think the classrooms are pretty much done up here, right, Brian? Brian and Brian were here to 2 o'clock this morning, 2 a.m., and they were working on getting the air conditioners up and running for back there, and they are up and running, right? So those units are done. Some of you may have been in some of those classes back there. So we're grateful for that. You'll notice the old fellowship hall has been redone, and there's still some things going on. We're waiting for the permit to be finalized, the electrical side of that. We think that's going to happen this week, to where we can begin to put the board on the other side. What I understand from the Brian and talking to Brent, what the plan is to do is to finish up the offices down there, get that done, get it carpeted, and then get the rest of the stuff done. So we're looking to try to maybe have the offices done the next week or two, and then we may hire some help outside there. But I do want to say that there was a couple very large donations given last year. The finance folks have budgeted very well. They've put that money aside. We've utilized that money for the most part for this project. We've not borrowed one dime to when you see there. Amen? That's just good news. So just good things to be done. A few weeks we're going to be doing kids camp. And we're doing it in a different venue this year. We do have a chance for those who have helped in the past with scholarships and partial scholarships for kids that need some help. I know Brenda and I are going to do that myself. If you've done that in the past or you would like to do it, never done it before, would like to give a partial scholarship or a scholarship to one of these kids that need some help, see myself or you can see Justin Lee and help out with that. Scholarship, a full scholarship, is $185. That sounds a little steep, but the thing is, there's a lot more going on at this camp. We don't have quite the traveling expenses that we had going up to Seneca Lake. So see Justin or myself as I said that. Now, I want to share with you some things that we need to bear in mind. Every day, from what Lori has shared with me, there's going to be a daily park review. Okay, now I'm sort of holding that. It's very colorful. It has the VBS scripture on it for the theme for the week, which is going to be our text for the day. And there's some other things on there. VBS motto, facing fear, trusting God. Day one, here's the lesson for day one, dare to change. And the story is about Paul obeyed. Brenda and I were talking yesterday. She was reviewing your lesson. She was asking how to apply this for the kids. So we talked about that, where Paul was blinded, why was he blinded? And some different things as well. So take time to look at this every day. It's going to keep you up to date on what's going on and especially what has happened in the past. Also, there are prayer cards that Lori has and some others have. We're going to hand them out at the service. Day one, pray that God will keep, will help kids know that what he does, that he does not want them to have the spirit of fear. So that's what we're going to be praying for day one. Grab one of these prayer cards, even if you're not going to be a part of VBS. You can be a part by simply praying for this, and we would challenge you to do that as well. So a lot of things going on. I want to share with you some things that I remember about VBS. I remember a small church that I was a part of a long time ago. It only belonged to two different churches. But I remember some people that really cared enough that they just were willing to do some things for some kids. And I assume I was probably 4 years old, maybe 5 years old, just old enough to remember things fairly good. And it was my first VBS. And church had never done VBS before. And there was a couple ladies in the church. Actually, they were teenage girls, teenage women, I should say. They're probably 18, 19 years old. They took it upon themselves to do VBS. And I remember, I still have this at my house, taking this ceramic thing. It was just a little plaque, little thing. And it just said simply, "Trust in the Lord." It had the Bible verse with it. And painting that. And I've kept that all these years. And that's always stuck with me. I just remember someone caring enough that they would take a whole week and spend some time with me and share some good things with me. And it reminds me of the verse that tells us exactly how Christ views kids. And I think this is where we fall in at North Fairfield Baptist Church, by the way, as well. It's found in Mark, the 10th, verse 14. And it just says, "But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them," well, the thing that he was displeased with was the fact that people were pushing kids away, saying, "No, you know, we don't want the kids around." Here's what Christ had to say to that: "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God." Those are the words of Christ. And what he tells us is that there is such an important aspect when it comes to children in his kingdom that we need to do our absolute best with them. Now, I have noticed over the years, not only as the pastor, but as a staff member of this church, that this church has a heart toward children. And we have done some great VBSs. I have no doubt that this is going to be the best VBS ever, because last year was the best VBS ever, and the one before that. But I want to take a moment here and introduce Lori Payne. Lori, you come on up here. She's our VBS director. Amen. She's going to share some things with you. And Lori, thank you for the hard work that you put in this week. Okay.
Good morning. I love seeing all the colorful shirts out there. Thank you for wearing your shirts today. I think Pastor Jeff put it perfectly this morning. We do VBS for Christ alone. That's why we do it. I'm going to cry. I do every time. Sorry. So that is why we do what we do. That is why we put the time in. And so many have put in so much time to turn this place into Colossal Coaster World. So first of all, I want to thank them for their efforts. They have done a fabulous job. But I do want to give you just some statistics that are just really exciting to hear some actual numbers. Obviously, VBS is one of the leading outreach opportunities for churches. We reach so many in the community, and it's a way for so many in our church to gather together that wouldn't normally work together. We have volunteers from teens up to senior adults. So that's just a great way, a great fellowship for all of us to minister to our community together. In 2011, 2,832,379 people were enrolled in VBS. 39,390 of those people enrolled in Sunday school as a result of attending VBS. 2,281 people committed their lives to church-related vocations during VBS. And here's the big one: 79,876 decisions to accept Christ as Savior as a result of VBS. And even though we love numbers and those numbers are fantastic, when I read this, I thought, but what if it's only one? It's worth it if it's only one. What if it's none? You know, what if we don't have any? It's worth it if we bring joy to one child. Our children today are facing so much. I know of two that will be here this week who have tragically lost their young father. I know of one whose mother just had surgery for breast cancer. Our children are facing so much. And if we can just give them 1 week of just pure joy from the Lord, it's all worth it to me, and I think to so many of you. So I want to thank you for providing that joy this week. I always term VBS as a wonderfully exhausting week, because it is, but it is all so worth it. I just wanted to update you. The Lord has provided perfectly, as he always does. We have 111 workers, like I said, from age teen to senior adult. Those will be serving children, and those who will be serving the adults who are serving the children. So I want to praise God for that. And we already have 146 children pre-registered, which is a big jump from pre-registration last year. So that is another very, very exciting thing. Very quickly, we've got a lot of workers, and I'm so thankful for all of them, but there are many of you who are not able to help, and we understand that, but there is a way that you can help us tremendously, and that is by providing food. So many will come from work, straight from work, to be here for our meeting at 6 o'clock before we start at 6:30. There are sign-up sheets in the back. Jack and Rose Burns are organizing that. If you have any questions, please sign up and help provide food for our workers who are providing the love of Christ to the children this week. Also, last thing, if your children are pre-registered or if you need to get them registered, we'll have a table outside after church today. We can go ahead and get their wristband on them. We can get them registered, get their wristband on them, and that will make check-in tonight run a lot smoother. They still have to check in, so we know they're here, but that will speed things up tremendously for our wonderful registration staff who have a very, very hectic night on the first night with walk-in registration. So whatever you can do to help ease their job tonight, just visit the table as you leave, and we'll get you taken care of. Again, thank you all so very, very much. Your prayers would be greatly appreciated throughout the week. And right now, I would like to ask Ms. Kathy Clapper to come up. She's one of my favorites. She is wonderfully passionate about teaching VBS, and I'm so very thankful for her.
She is just wonderful. Her heart is so tender to our children, your children, your grandchildren, those folks who are in your neighborhoods. And she loves what she does. And so she is a joy to work with. And I bought this when we went to please help me. What did we go to that you all put on, Duane? Yeah, where we learned all about what to do and what it was about. Thank you. All I did was I got a bag. That's all I know. I was talking to Brenda today at Sunday school, and I was like, I tried to think about how long I've been doing VBS, and I think it's since I got saved, because I got saved at 19 years old. So you don't really get to go to VBS anymore. You get to teach it. But I love it, and I love it for so many different reasons, and one of which is the kids. Because as Lori said, these kids are not living in the times that you and I lived in. They have different pressures. They have different stresses than I did when I was growing up. And I really, my mission, whether it's VBS or it's Sunday school or just talking anywhere, is to let them know they're worth something. To let them know that God has a plan for them. And I can't think, this theme this year is fabulous, because if we all were to be honest sitting in this sanctuary today, there's something you're afraid of. You're afraid of losing a family member. You're afraid of losing a job. You're afraid of your kids learning how to drive and running off the road. Whatever it is, yes, he's 16, and yes, that is a fear. But there's something that you're afraid of, if we're all to be honest. And this year's motto is facing fear, trusting God. And our kids need to know it. And if along the way as adults catch on to it as well, praise God. Because God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness. He's given us a spirit of power and love and sound judgment. And we forget those last three things because there's power in the name of Christ. And so I love VBS. If you are not plugged in, I encourage you to find some way to let the contagious enthusiasm and energy spill over into your life this week, whether it's praying for us or bringing food, because it will change your life. It will change your focus. A lot of us will be putting in a lot of hours and driving to and from work and doing what needs to be done, but God is faithful to provide the enthusiasm and the energy to get through it. And we covet your prayers, as she said, and thank you so much.
All right. Tell you, there's a lot of creativity that goes in this, and I want you to find with me Second Timothy, first chapter, verse 7. It's going to be on the screen. This is our verse for the week, and we're going to be talking about the ride of a lifetime. Now, how many of you have been to Kings Island? Raise your hand. All right. You know, when Kings Island first opened up, it was very exciting to get to ride the racer. Now there's probably a half a dozen other coasters there, but I can remember waiting and waiting and waiting in line to ride the coaster. So we actually have a representation of Kings Island. What's the coaster? The racer. Yeah, we have the red racer and we have the blue racer. If you've been to Kings Island, you realize that. And one of them goes backwards, and they've been doing that for quite some time. And as I thought about amusement parks, and especially roller coasters, what I've noticed is that people are either hot or they're cold when it comes to roller coasters. I would be one of those that are sort of hot. You know, I like to ride them. I've ridden a lot of different coasters. The scarier, the better. Although, when it comes to Drop Zone, my wife says that I scream like a little girl when I'm on Drop Zone. So that is my fear. Just that whole, you know, just that dropping down, it will scare the pants right off me. It's literally. There are some really big thrills that we have out there. And I have a pastor friend of mine. He used to come up to do revivals, not this church, but another church I was involved in. But one of the times he came up, we took him and his family to Kings Island, and we rode the Beast. He absolutely refused to ride anything of that nature. And this guy was a big, you know, football player kind of guy, you know, big, strong guy. And he was as meek as a mouse when it come to these rides like that. Here's what I know about roller coasters. You can wait hours and hours, sometimes, in line to go get the thrill of your life. And the thrill of your life will last approximately 2 minutes, 3 minutes at the most. You know, they don't last long. And I think we get on roller coasters because we know that it's this controlled environment. It's going to be a thrill. It's going to be just all out adrenaline rush that we're on. But we know that it will come to an end and the outcome will be fine. Well, the roller coaster of life is a different story when you really get down to it. It's more than just a few minutes long. We're already on the ride. And what I have seen about life is there's a lot of twists, there's a lot of turns, there's uphills, there's downhills. And it's more exhilarating than any amusement park that we can go on. The Apostle Paul, he understood that. When he wrote in Philippians, the fourth chapter, he said, I know how to abase. Now, he's talking about the downs of life. He's talking about being in the very lowest of lowest places that you can be. See, when he penned those words, he was writing them from a Proconian prison that was off the Roman Forum. And if you remember our series from Philippians, if you don't remember, let me remind you. That prison was essentially a hole in the ground off the Roman Forum. That's where he was when he wrote, I know how to be low. I know about the lows of life. And he goes on to say, I know how to abound. And he's talking about the highs of life. Everywhere, in all things, I have learned to both be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer needs. Now, life is highs, life is lows, and life is the in-betweens as well. Well, today we want to commission our service workers for VBS. Some will be teaching, some will be ministering through rec ministry. Some will be ministering through meals, things of that nature. And here's what I know. The week will have some highs, and the weeks will have some lows. Some of it's really scary when you think about it. Getting these kids in here, one year we had lice. I'd never experienced that before. I think maybe our daughter may have had it once or twice at home. I don't remember too much about that. But for here, that big a crowd, that was sort of a scare. But the outcome, by the way, turned out really good. Turned out okay. I want you to look at our verse. Here it is on the screen. Now, if you have your Bibles, you can find the verse as well. But you can also look in your bulletin, and I've had the verse put in there, and you'll notice by some of these things, we put the number 1, number 2, number 3, and number 4. And we want to delineate these things here for us today. Let's read this verse. In fact, let's all stand today, and let's read the verse in unison, if you would allow me to do that with you today. We'll start on 3. 1, 2, 3. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, isn't that a powerful verse? Amen. May God bless the reading, the hearing, and the preaching of his word today. You may be seated. Now, there are several challenges that I think that we can unpackage from that verse here today. Yeah, for our commissioning service, and for those who will not be involved with VBS this week, let me challenge you. These are things that you can apply in your life, and you're going to find great application from them here for you to carry on through the course of your life as well. Now, first point is this, that I think Paul is giving us, and it's a challenge, it's a charge to our workers, don't be a coward, okay? My preacher friend, he was a coward when it came to the beast. You're not getting me up on that. Let me challenge you. There's going to be some tough situations this week, and there's going to be some fun situations this week. It's not all bad. It's not all good. It's a homogenization of all these things together is what it's going to be. We're going to focus where we put the number one, and that is the idea of what God has not given us. Some of us are afraid of some things. I think, Kathy, you touched about that, or maybe even Lori herself touched about that. But there's some things that we're afraid of. I heard one guy said, I ain't scared of nothing. Well, there's some things that I'm frightened of. Some of us are afraid of the dentist, aren't we? Yeah, don't want to go there. Some of us are afraid of needles. Man, I got a daughter, she will absolutely freak out when the needle's broken out and it's coming her way. Some of us are afraid of spiders, you know. I don't like spiders. Some of us have snakes. Well, in the Greek language, where I've asked you to put that number one, where it talks about God's not giving us the spirit of fear, there's several different ways to express the idea of fear. There's variations of fear. We understand that. One way to express it is the Greek word phobos. Phobos is where we get the word phobia, and it means terror. And the other way to express fear, another way to express fear, is delia. And I think we may get the word delineate maybe from that. I didn't bother to look that part of it up. But that word means to act in a timid way, to act cowardly. Now, here's the difference between those two words. Phobos can be used to describe an unreasonable fear. We can have unreasonable fears, and we can be so paralyzed that we won't do anything. But the second word does not mean an unreasonable fear. It's used to describe something that is evaluated, it's looked at, and you begin to delineate in your mind and say, you know what, that looks a little hard to do. That might not be a wise thing to do. It could be described as an educated fear. What the Word of God is expressing here to our workers is that you can look at the task at hand. We've got 111 workers. We may have 250 kids. That's a real possibility. You may have 280, you may have 300. You can become overwhelmed. You can look at the lesson plan. You can say, we don't have enough meal or enough food to give them. Tonight is slamming jammins. You know what a salmon jamming is? That's just putting lipstick on a pig. We're just calling peanut butter, or it's not even peanut butter. We're just calling jelly sandwiches. That's all it is. But it sort of rolls off the tongue. Slamming jamming. That's what we're doing tonight. Listen, you can look at the task at hand, and you can just become plain timid about it. You might not be sure if it'll work. You might not be sure if you want to do it. And you're not sure how it might be received. Well, what Paul is telling us here is the innermost part of our being. Now listen carefully. God has not placed in us a spirit that says, I can't do it. That's not what God's given us. He's given us a spirit of courage, of power, and might. That's what he's given us. So I want to challenge, first of all, our workers, that God has called you not to be a coward. I don't care how big the tasks look. Listen, ask somebody to help if you feel overwhelmed. Now, the second thing, God's given us power. He's not given us one thing. We underline the word power and we put the number two by it. And there's a contrast here. Paul uses this quite frequently in his letters. And it's very significant here. When he uses the word but there, he's implying a strong difference. Saw a strong contrast. What God has not given and what God has given. We have not been given a bad thing. We have been given a good thing. And God gives very good things. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. Again, I want to refer back to the Greek that is used here and color it in a little bit more. That word power is the Greek word dynamis. And it applies from its stem the idea of ability, of intrinsic power, of capability. One of the things that make VBS very special here at North Fairfield Baptist Church is we have all kind of dynamis going on around here. There were people that were working on this from, I believe, Dana, I believe he got the aluminum for this. Other people painted this. Other people did this and that, put all these things together. You go all these classrooms, there's a homogenization of different abilities. Go in the kitchen and look in the kitchen and see all the food that is spread out there that'll be slamming jammings tonight, and I don't know what tomorrow night will be, but it might be like beans and rice and beans in Haiti. You have rice and beans one day, and then you have beans and rice the next day. It's going to be some variation on something, but to kids, it's going to mean a great deal. As the pastor of this church, what I have seen, what I have watched, what I have witnessed is that we work as a well-oiled machine. And I'm grateful to God because God gives us the abilities. He's given us the power. And I'm grateful for the membership that is willing to be used of God for His glory, for His fame. Lori, you've done a wonderful job. Lori would be the first one to tell you that she's not been alone. I mean, I have watched people out at that barn, Robbie Branson being one of them, out there constantly working, others along with them, all the time, putting this together. Your husband, Bill Clapper, here all the time. I mean, just a lot of different people doing a lot of different things to make this a special week for the kids. Coming up, I hadn't even said anything about the family fun night that's going to be happening on Friday. Why didn't I say anything about it? Because Brent and Barb just took it and did it. You know, they just ran with it. They were asked to do it. They've done it. I've not heard one thing about it. Thank you, Brent and Barb. That's the way things typically work at North Fairfield Baptist Church, to His glory, to His fame. People are given God-given abilities. They use them for His fame, for His glory. So regardless if you're in the kitchen, regardless if you're walking kids with the ropes tied to them so they don't get off somewhere else, listen, use your God-given ability, and I charge you to use your God-given ability. I want to talk about the third thing. This is vitally important. Unconditional love, or love unconditionally. Now listen, you're going to hear some strange things this week. One guy said to one of our workers last year, he said, "I got anger issues." And the worker, in a loving way, said, "So do I. Now I need you to do this." You got to love them unconditionally. We put by love the number three, and we're going to, again, contrast it between God's not given us one thing. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us a spirit of love. What God has not given and what God has given. He's given us the ability to love unconditionally. This is referring to our capacity to love. It's very limited, but when God loves to us, it can be unlimited. You can really reach back. See, there's a misnomer about unconditional love. I want to refer again back to the Greek word. It's the Greek word agape, and it's been a buzzword for probably 3 decades amongst the Christian community. And it's just this idea that just God would bestow and give and give and give. Now, that's there. But the fact of the matter is, it goes beyond that. Dr. Spyros Zoriati, who is a renowned Greek scholar, has went on to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. But here's what he has to say about the word agape. God doing what he knows is best for man, not necessarily what man desires, and that is unconditional love. For example, John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Well, what did he give? Not what man wanted, but what God knew that man needed, i.e. his son, to bring forgiveness to man. That is unconditional love. So it's not just opening up our bank book. It's not opening up and letting kids run amok and doing whatever they want. There's structure to this place. We expect them to be at dinner or at snack time or rec time. Guess what? If they tell you they got anger issues, you just let them know in a loving way, so do I. Let's march this way. This is where we're heading. You don't know what you're going to deal with. One of our workers shared with me that they were teaching in the children's department, and one of their students came in just looking just all dejected and down in the mouth. And the teacher said, "What's the matter?" And the kid said, "Man, I feel like heck today." Except he didn't say it that way. The teacher said, "Well, that's all right. Just put your head down. I'm going to pray for you." You just don't know what you're going to hear this week. Be patient. Don't overreact. And we'll talk about that a little bit when we talk about the last and final thing this morning. But listen, love unconditionally. When they need to be corrected, if you've loved them, they'll receive it really well. Okay? All right. Let me give you the final, let me say this morning as well. The VBS staff, I charge you to love these kids unconditionally like God loves us, and that means giving them what they need. Now, the final thing this morning is use self-control. Just use self-control. Finally, the number 4, the Bible uses the phrase sound mind, and it's really conveying the principle of a life governed by self-control. Just not for this week. I hope you're just not adopting self-control for this week, because self-control is a lifestyle. And there's 2 sides to self-control. There really is. Here's the first. We live in an age where self-control and self-discipline is in very short supply. People just don't have self-control anymore. Some of the children that you have this week, they may be in an environment where they see little or no self-control. They may not see it at home. They may not see it at their school. They may not see it from any one of their peers. It's important how you handle yourself. It really is. Don't blow a gasket. Don't lose your cool. Don't get caught up in the moment and say, "Ugh." Just take some deep breaths. Count to 10. Ask for some help if you feel like you're overwhelmed. That's sort of the negative side. Listen, the Bible in Proverbs, we don't have time to go into it this morning, but speaks highly about us controlling ourselves, the way that we present ourselves. So it's important. That's the negative side, but I also want to give you the positive as well, because I said there's 2 sides of this. Self-control also implies a life that is disciplined and organized. It means you're ready to do what you've been assigned. We go back to the word power in our life, talking about ability. If you're ready to do what you've been called to do, here's what I know. You're going to shine. You're not going to fizzle. But if you're not ready to do what you've been called to do, teaching or ministering, whatever the case may be, then you're going to fizzle. And there's no sizzle in that, my friend. It's a bad thing to be. If you're not going to shine, you're going to fizzle. So it's important that if you're doing whatever, do your best with it. Work at it. Prepare yourself for it. Be ready. always to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. Amen. So the Word of God, I mean, it clearly reminds us we've not been given fear. We may look at the situation and we may make this assessment and say, wow. You may look at this week for those that have jobs outside the church. For those of you that have ladies who have jobs outside your home, you're not only doing your home responsibilities, you're doing your work responsibilities, and now you've got a week ahead of VBS responsibilities. Don't look at it and say, I can't do it. You look at it and say, God can do it through me. Amen? So he's not giving us that kind of spirit. What he has given us is a spirit of ability, love unconditionally, and self-control. So I'm going to ask everyone that's involved with VBS at this moment to please stand. Regardless if you have the shirt on, regardless if you have not the shirt on, I want you to stand. Those of you that are unable to serve this week for whatever reason, I want to challenge you to take the prayer cards and pray for these folks as well. So everyone that's a part of VBS this week, I want you to hear these words. They're on the screen this morning. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 14 and 15 says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the run of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So today, as your pastor, I charge you, don't be a coward. Use your God-given abilities, love unconditionally, and use self-control. Let's pray. Father, as we come before your throne of grace and mercy this morning, I thank you for those who have accepted the challenge, 111 to be exact, who are going to be serving in a very real and predominant way here at this church. Different abilities, different callings, but yet for the one thing, as even as Jeff expressed this morning, we're doing this because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this is about. So, Father, I pray that they receive this charge and will do the best that they possibly can do. And when they feel weak and frail and Lord, that they just can't go another mile, that you will give them strength and power from the Holy Spirit himself. And that others will see that, if others need to have some help and some encouragement, that we'll be that agent of the Holy Spirit as well in their life. So I pray that the teachers are ready. They've studied to show themselves approved. They're a worker that does not need to be ashamed. I pray, Father, for the rec people and those who are even in the security details here at the church, that every one of us are going to do the best that we can with what you've given us and allow the Holy Spirit to use us mightily. I thank you for all that have committed, and I pray, Father, that they accept this charge. And we ask these things in Christ's name, amen.